Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's stand for the reading of the Bible. I'm gonna call the lesson of Paul's seven prayer requests for the Colossae saints. Paul's seven prayer requests for the Colossae saints. Think about that as we read it. For this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Heavenly Father, bless this Bible study. I pray that it will challenge us, Lord, to not only be more active in our prayer life, but also maybe to be a little more knowledgeable as far as what to pray. And so use this list that we're going to go through, and Lord, may we take some practical application. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I like that the way verse 9 begins, where it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might. And so we have two different things here. He's desiring something on their behalf, but he doesn't just want it, he prays about it. And I thought, how many of us want something, desire something, wish something? Wouldn't it be nice if, and that's all we do. We're good at wishing, we're not very much good at praying. And so Paul says, now I'm going to tell you what my goals are. I'm going to tell you what I want, but I'm going to tell you also how I intend to help you get there, and that's by praying for you. And when I developed this list, it's so neat. I thought this would be a great prayer request list for parents praying for their children. Think about that, parents, as we go down through this list and talk about it. And to pray, not just mention their name, but to be very specific in your prayer requests for them. Think about this. Think about your child and you praying this over them every day. Lord, help them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Help them to walk worthy of the Lord. Help them to be fruitful in every good work. Help them to increase in the knowledge of you, God. Strengthen them today with all might according to your glorious power, and teach them to be patient, long-suffering, while maintaining a joyful heart, and help them to always maintain a thankfulness to you and have a thankful heart. Well, that's a pretty good prayer request. I think if we could get those prayers answered for all of our children, wouldn't we all be satisfied with that, happy with that? And then I thought, well, what a great list, prayer list to pray over for your Sunday school students, teachers, and to ask that God would help them to be filled with the knowledge of his will and to walk worthy of the Lord and to be fruitful in every good work and on down. And I thought, well, bus workers, this might be a good thing to spend the next month just praying over each of your bus kids, or master club leaders, or children's church workers. And then I got to thinking about our missionaries, and I go back and I pray for our missionaries, and I'm here most every day, so I guess I have a little more opportunity sometimes to slip back than those of you that are coming and going. But I think I'm just going to maybe stop over several of them this next month and just go through this prayer list and be very specific and ask God for these things in their life. But we're going to cover these seven prayer requests because I think the main point before we begin with the specifics of these seven things is to all be reminded of the importance of praying for those whom God has given us. And whether that's children you're raising in the home, mom, or whether it's a Sunday school class, or whether it's a group of children that you pick up on the bus, or whatever responsibilities the Lord's given us, folks, we can do the work, but we also need to understand that part of the work is this matter of praying for them. And somebody's got to pray for them. I think to myself, if somebody isn't praying for some of these bus kids, then nobody's praying for some of them. Many of them don't have a Christian grandma that's going to hold them up to the throne of grace. They don't have a Christian mom and dad that's going to kneel by their bed at night and put their hand on them while they're sleeping and pray. And if we're not praying for them, who's praying for them? And so let's take this thing to heart as we're kind of laying the foundation for the new outreaches, the different things that we're doing this year. Boy, it would be good if we took maybe the month of February and said, before we get into the busyness of our spring attendance campaign and our homecoming week and all of the things, Lord, maybe we just need to put in order, in good order, our prayer life. Let's get that established solid here at the beginning of the year. Let's go through these seven prayer requests. And, of course, I'll just touch on each one. Number one, help them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Well, I would pray that that would be answered in every single person's life in this room today. How important is it to know the will of God, to know the will of God? And folks, I'm not talking about just young people. A lot of times when we talk about knowing the will of God, we're thinking, you know, young people think about one thing down the road that they're going to be or they're going to do. But folks, the will of God unfolds day by day. God had a will for me today. He had a will for you today. Were you filled with the knowledge of that will? Were you sensitive to that? Say, preacher, how can you know God's will? Well, I think this verse, beautiful verse, it says here, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. How? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you know, I think there's two ways to discern the will of God. First of all, by seeking wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is achieved by hearing and hearkening to the word of God. And we are reminded of that in the parable of the two foundations. Jesus said this, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. How do we know the will of God? We hear the sayings of the Lord, we go to the word of God, and we do it. And if I'm doing the will of, if I'm obeying the word of God, I'm doing the will of God for my life. And so much of this mystery about the will of God is not that much of a mystery. It's just getting into the Bible and saying, what has he commanded me to do? How am I to live? How am I to conduct myself? Well, guess what? That's his will. And then it goes on to say that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. And really, I teach this often, but I like to just stop and remind us, folks, there's just one difference between a person that chooses the path of wisdom and someone who chooses the path of foolishness. They both heard the words, but one of them chooses to obey them, apply them to their life, do the best they can to follow and obey the principles of God's word. The foolish man is the one that hears them and then turns away from them and says, I'm not going to obey them. And, you know, I said this to somebody this morning. You know what? I don't think anybody that grows up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church can claim that they're simple. Because there's either the wise in book of Proverbs, there's the simple and the foolish. Simple's never been taught. They just don't know what the Bible says. And, well, we've got a generation being raised outside of church. Children being raised, never walking into Sunday school. Never taken to a church service. And they don't have a Bible. If they do, it's just something grandma got them or somebody got them and it sets on. They don't know knowledge of the principles of God's word. Well, no young person growing up here is going to be able to say, well, I wasn't taught and I didn't know. And that's why I say, people say every once in a while, well, what kind of kids you turn out down there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Oh, we turn out wise kids and we turn out fools. Because we're going to teach them the things and then they're going to have to make a decision what they do with them. We don't turn out simple kids. No, I'm sorry. You're not going to come here for 18 years and then be able to play that card. Well, you know, no one ever taught me right and wrong. No one ever taught me what God's word says so that I could know what God's will is. No. You know what? We'll teach you, and then you've got to decide. Are you going to be like the wise man, build your house on a rock? Are you going to be like the foolish man that builds your life on sand? But how do you know the will of God? Through wisdom and wisdom, and then it says through wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I think spiritual understanding is achieved a different way. Let me have you go, and by the way, save your place here in Colossians, but go over to Romans chapter 12. This is important. You know, we want to pray that God would fill us with the knowledge of his will, but we better understand that there's a very specific way for that to happen. First of all, again, in this matter of connecting ourselves to the word of God, reading it, studying it, obeying it. If you're obeying the word of God, you're doing the will of God. The word of God and the will of God always go together. But then there's this, preacher, what about what's not covered specifically in the Bible? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I think spiritual understanding is achieved through surrender, separation, sanctification, which leads to a transformation in the way that you think. And, you know, with the help of the Word of God and being surrendered to the Spirit of God, we can know and do the will of God. And I don't know if there's anything more important that can be said from this pulpit to Christians than, folks, listen to me, if you want the entire Christian life summed up, this is it. Find the will of God and do it. Find the will of God and do it. This is a great prayer request to pray. Help them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, very simple. Won't spend a lot of time on it, but notice this. Help them to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. What does that word mean, worthy, preacher? What is that talking about in this scripture? Walk in such a way as to gain the Lord's approval. Walk in such a way as to gain the Lord's approval. I was thinking about a good prayer that would be maybe helpful to pray at the end of every day and say, Lord, as you look over back at this day and the way I walk, dear God, was it worthy of you? Was it worthy of you? And I think if we make that our prayer request, our desire, the goal for our life, then we will work very hard to try to do and live our life in such a way that would not dishonor the Lord, but it would be worthy of Him. And he adds on this little statement because let's just see what the Bible says here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And that's talking about our horizontal relationships. So we can walk in such a way as to gain the Lord's approval, but do so in a way that does not intentionally offend others. Unto all pleasing. Think about that. What does that mean, preacher? It means that we can be spiritual. We need to be spiritual without being condescending to those around us. You know what? We need to be godly, but also learn to be gracious. We can learn to be pious without being pretentious. And we can be separated without being a snob. And I think sometimes, you know, well, bless God, all I care about is what God sees, and if God's happy, and I understand that. But the Bible says unto all pleasing, and I think it's not just a matter of doing right, but sometimes in the attitude we have that comes along with it. Let's keep a humility of spirit. Let's prefer others before ourselves. You know, let's be kind one to another. Let's give the Lord a good name. 1 Thessalonians, we have a similar verse. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So there again, we're not talking about compromising here. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And you know what? Every day when we walk out the door, one of the things that ought to come to mind is, you know what? As I walk today, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm a testimony to the Lord. And you know what? I'm the only Bible that some people are going to read. And Lord, just let me walk in such a way that would be worthy of you. What a prayer. You know, I got thinking, forget praying this for everybody else. I'm just going to start praying this for myself, all right? Maybe that'd be a good way to start the day. Number three, how about this? Being fruitful in every good work. As you pray for those that God has placed under you, that you have responsibility for, help them, pray this, help them to be fruitful in every good work, every good work. Now, we must go to God with this request because, folks, this matter of fruitfulness is His department. This is why we have to pray this. You remember the contention, the division that was festering in the church of the Corinthians there in Corinth, and Paul had to address this through inspiration. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And this matter of fruitfulness, folks, listen, this isn't a cop-out. Paul said, I planted. Paul said, I watered. Then God said, yeah, but there's an arena that only I can control. And I was thinking of all the work, Brother Jack, that's gone on all these years, you and Brother Don and other farmers in this area, and you know what? We can't expect a crop to happen without that work put in. And you know what? You can prep the ground and you can fill the hoppers and you can plant the seed, but the one thing that you can't do or any other farmer is that's the miracle of germination. There's some things that only God can do. And so, folks, as we go forward to 2018, let's go out there and plant the seed. And let's water where we can. But then we have to go to God and say, God, listen, this is my prayer. Lord, if we're putting all this work in, it'd sure be good to see fruit. And, Lord, we want to be fruitful for you. And that's something that we go to the Lord with. Young people, this is my prayer for all of you. I want you to grow up and be fruitful in every good work. I want God to use you. I want your life to mean something. Count for something. Don't get to the end of your 20s and look back and say an entire decade where I can't point to one thing that's going to last for eternity. I can't point at one person that's going to be in heaven because of anything that I was involved with. Good night. Don't have that testimony. Be fruitful in every good work. And then the fourth prayer request is to help them to increase in the knowledge of God. And I love this. I love this. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. And then it talks about this being fruitful in every good work. So we're going to work and then pray that God will bless it. But while we're working for the Lord, let's be careful that we don't also fail to spend time with the Lord. And here's a wonderful balance that always is taught in the scriptures. Being fruitful in every good work. Yeah, let's go do it. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Be busy in the work of God. But listen, do not fail to know the God of the work. And so that same portion of scripture where I just referenced in 1 Corinthians where he talked about, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. The next couple verses says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. But we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Now, I think some people want to divide this. Well, you've got to, and I'm all for devotion. I'm all time for prayer time. You know all of that. But it's almost like that some people want to separate the work of God and time with God. Well, that's kind of silly because the Bible says we're co-laborers. We labor together with him. And I think a great thing to do is, yes, spend time with the Lord in prayer, spend time with the Lord in the Bible. But as you're going out and doing the work of God, why not increase in the knowledge of God in the work of God? And that means, you know what, Lord, teach me today, and not just to be better at what I'm trying to do and to be more fruitful and more effective, but Lord, teach me about you today and gain knowledge of God. Go with the Lord. Take it with you while you're out there. Talk to him while you're out there and commune with him, because he says, and that wonderful portion of scripture we just read, we are laborers together with God. So notice that. This whole idea of, well, here's devotion and here's labor. Devotion is time spent with God. Labor is time working for God. No, not working for God, working with God. Okay, so I don't think this is like, okay, here, and then we, you know, I've watched Independent Fundamental Baptists separate this so much that it's almost like they want us to feel guilty for working for God. You know, we're going to all be monks now. You know, the pendulum swung clear this way, and then it swung clear this way. And I got an idea. Get up in the morning, okay? Get awake. Get your coffee. Open your Bible. Read it and pray. And let that be a conversation starter that never stops the whole rest of the day. And you know what? It's wonderful just to learn more about the Lord. I want to increase in my knowledge of him. The better I know him, the more I know him, I think the better I'll be at doing his work. And so, number four. Number five, how about this? I like this one. I need this prayer. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So, preacher, we're out here seeking the will of God and doing it and walking, trying to walk worthy every day. And we want to be fruitful in every good work and still learn about God. Man, this is tiring sometimes. Amen. And we just need to pray for strength. Strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. So let's kind of stop and think about this. You're praying over your children. Lord, help them to be filled with the knowledge of God and to walk worthy of the Lord. And Lord, to be fruitful in every good work. And Help them to increase in the knowledge of you and to know you more and have a close relationship. But Lord, we're weak. And Lord, there's times we just need your strength. Sometimes we're just sick. We don't feel well. Strengthen them with all might according to God's glorious power. What a thing that's available to us. I'm going to have you go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to look at two places in Ephesians. And again, if you'll save your place there in Colossians. But let's go over to Ephesians. I want to show you this because I love this. I memorized this portion of Scripture way back when I attended the Christian school. It's still one of my favorite portions of Scripture to quote in the car or remind me of the importance of the armor of God. And I'm not going to teach down through the armor, but I'm going to show you something that I love. And I'm glad that when we memorized this, we didn't start at verse number 11 and memorize down to verse number 18. I'm glad they had us memorize verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Boy, it took me a long time to understand that. Really, I think, you know, youth, the Bible says the glory of a young man is his strength. That's what it says. There's just something about young men that, you know what, we want to be able to do it in our strength. We want to do it in our power, you know. And I think the Lord has to take you through some things to teach you that, you know what, the Lord wants you to be strong, young man, but he wants you to be strong according to his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, stay with me here, okay? Now, go back over to chapter 3 in Ephesians, and I'm gonna take this somewhere. But stay with me on this, because to me this is a wonderful thing and it's an exciting thing. And some of you in the room has experienced this in your life. Maybe many of you, most of you, some of you never have. I want you to seek it. I want you to feel it. I want you to know it. There's such a difference in doing the work of God in your own strength and your own power and doing the work of God in the power of his might. And I'm going to tell you, it's the difference between night and day. You know, people talk about burnout and all of this stuff in the ministry. You know why people are burning out? Listen to me. Not because they're, you know, oh, well, we just need to back up, do less. No, it's because we're trying to do it in our might instead of his might. That's when burnout happens. Chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I'm just going to read down through this. What a beautiful portion of Scripture. I want you to really kind of concentrate, all right? I know it's Wednesday. I know we're a long day, but let's put our minds into this. Let's ask God to speak. This is the words of God. Let's let it touch us, okay? For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, look right up here, okay? Let me tell you how you get the power of his might. Okay, you're never going to experience what I'm talking about until you're willing to do that. See, somebody that thinks they don't need the power of God, the strength of God, they've got it handled, really has a hard time bowing a knee to anything. They just do, you know. And this matter of kneeling, I think you ought to do a study on that, okay? And I know sometimes, very rarely, sometimes somebody may get to a point physically where they can't kneel. But that's rare. And I'm going to tell you something. I hope and I ask God that I never get to the point where I can't kneel. Or that I would use something that really isn't an excuse not to kneel. Because folks, listen. There's something about kneeling. Okay, I didn't come up with it. I think it's right there, isn't it? Did I misread this? All right, let's make sure. King James Version, yep, it is, okay. All right, every once in a while I pick up Brother Rogers' Bible by mistake. I just want to make sure I had the right one. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, he said, I'm bowing my knee for a reason, to pray for y'all, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, and be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And now, listen, this can be black words on white paper and never mean anything more than what we're going to talk about here and walk out and never access it and never beg for it and never find it and never experience it. But I'm going to tell you something. I've stood behind a pulpit and preached in my power, and I've preached, stood behind a pulpit and preached in his power. And I can tell you right now, I'd rather be preaching in his power. Okay, I've tried to do the work of the Lord in my power, and I've done it in his power. And I'm going to tell you, it's so much better. Say, preacher, well, how do you get that? Well, listen, you don't go to a Pentecostal church and speak in tongues to get it. But let me tell you what you do, Baptist people. You do this to get it. You do this to get it. And I mean, the Sunday school teachers, don't you walk into your class this Sunday morning and teach that class in your power and your might, or it's not going to mean much at all for eternity. And you know what? Shame on you if you walk up here and sing Sunday morning and you haven't done this first. Okay? All right. I mean, I wouldn't. Shame on you, piano player. Don't you go sitting over there if you haven't done this first. I mean, everything that we can do better if we do it in the power of His. Now, did you get that? Were these just words? Did you think about it? That He would grant you. Well, man alive, that means that it's available. He can. I think He wants to. I think He will. According to the riches of His glory. Anybody think God's bankrupt? The riches of His glory. To be strength. So He reaches into the depths of His resources and pulls from the riches of His glory and allows us to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And folks, this isn't something that we do to build this thing up. This is something we do that God then strengthens what's inside of us and strengthens that inner man. So what's the benefit of this? Let's read on down. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. All right, you still interested in doing it your way and doing it with what you got? Or is this starting to sound kind of important and enticing? And I wonder what that would be like to sing with that inside of me. And I wonder what it would be like to teach with that inside of me. I wonder what it would be like to preach with that inside of me. And to soul win and talk to somebody with that inside of me. Amen. That's good. Now, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. So no matter what you think that this is so far, let me just tell you something. It's way past what me or you are comprehending. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And you know, once we access this and get this and then things happen, there's no temptation to take any glory, because we know that when we went here and God opened the storehouses of heaven and according to the riches of His glory, reaches out and strengthens our inner man and gives us might and power that's not of us but of God. And then we stand up to do the work of God. And then you know what you'll find out? It won't take very long and you'll want to get back down here and get some more. And because I've got this, and you know what? Christians going to their knees in prayer, not to be something that happens one time on a Wednesday night. Some of you won't even participate in that. I'm just telling you, look right up here. Shame on you. If you're a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you don't kneel with the family of God and spend time praying. I'm not going to stand back there and police it, but I'm telling you, I hope that you're under conviction if you walk out of here without doing that. Shame on you. Because what we're trying to do here can't be done by stiff-backed Christians that won't bend a knee to God. It just can't be done like that. If you're so full of pride, you can't. When's the last time you bowed your knee before God? It's good for us. Good for us. This isn't a game we're playing. This is eternity. This is everything. I mean, how effective I am or you are at the work of God, and if we're trying to do it in our power, and to think, you know, I think so many times, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We look at the little bit that God accomplished, not because of us, but almost despite of us. And what could have been accomplished if we'd have just went. Amen. Hey, preacher, you want to get a lot accomplished this year. Now that means we're going to have to do a lot more praying. A lot more praying. Amen. Come on now. Come on. All right. I didn't write this. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. I didn't sneak in your house last night, open your Bible. That's not my handwriting. Boy, we need this. I need this. I need this. This preacher needs to hear this. You may think I'm mad at you. I'm more mad at me. Think of how much of my life that I tried to do the work of God and the power of the flesh, and I didn't see the importance of spending time before God and what could have been done, what should have been done. Well, I ain't got a whole lot of time left, but I'm not going to waste it trying to do it in my strength. I can tell you that. And then this next prayer request. Oh, wow, number six. This was one that, amen, teach them to be patient, long-suffering while maintaining a joyful heart. Oh, I was doing real well till I got to this one. And it's like, but that's part of the work of God. That is part of the work of God, is this matter of patience. As you do the work of God, you'll soon learn that patience is involved in it. I read this most fascinating verse. I'm not even going back and have you look at it. I'm still trying to sort it out in my head. But Jesus said in Luke 21:19, go look at it later. I'm not even going to try to teach it because I'm not sure I understand it. But he said this, in your patience possess ye your souls. I'm going to do a study on that. I don't know if I've ever done that before. I don't even know what it means, so I don't know if I've done it before. But in your patience possess ye your souls. I thought about, of course, Hebrews 12:1, where it encourages us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay a side every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. And this matter of patience and the work of God, folks, listen to me, it very seldom works in my time frame because I'm a very impatient person. And you know, I go back to the farmers, and I go back to that idea of putting that in the ground. And I'll go plant my garden every spring, and I promise you this is true. 2 days later, I'll go out there just in case something might have popped up. And by a week, I've decided, oh, you know, all those seeds were bad and we're going to have to, you know, I mean, a week later, I'm freaking out because, but you know what? You don't plant a seed, you know, the end of April and you're not eating corn on the cob June 1st. It just doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way in the work of God. And, you know, one of the things about this new program we've got in the mission fields and focusing on an area and keeping those names and writing down prospects and going back and going back and going back and building a relationship and you know, let me tell you what that's all about, patience. I mean, I want everybody I talk to that's not saved to get saved, right? I just want them to get saved. Good night. I want them the first time I want them to get saved. And that seldom happens. Seldom happens. And you know what? Christians, when I go to them and sometimes I see them struggling, I just make the right decision. Just make it now. But a lot of times, not only does that not happen in their lives, but as I look back, it didn't always happen in my life. And you know what? Part of the, I mean, I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. Preachers, sometimes I don't know if it's doing any good at all. Just be patient. Just do what you do. Preach, teach the word of God. Be patient. Invest, invest, invest. Trust the Lord. You know what? It's there. It's working. You may be more successful than it looks like. Okay? You may be more successful than it looks like. Sometimes you think nobody's hearing you. I promise you, something's happening in the hearts of some of them kids. Just be patient. It may not show for a while. It may not. Okay? I mean, almost every tool I have now, we don't plug in. It's got a battery. And you know what? I take that battery and I stick it on a charger. And, you know, I want that thing to just start glowing red and bouncing around. You know what it does when it's on the charger? Nothing. It just sits there. I can't tell if it's charging. I can't tell if it's not charging. Doesn't seem like anything's happening, but the right things are being put in. And you know what I feel like we do? We kind of take these kids and we just put them on the charge and and a lot of times you can't tell, is it taken, is it not taken? Are they getting it? Is this thing plugged in? If it wasn't for the little red light, I wouldn't know. It's never going to turn green. It's been on there. But I've watched, though, after years of faithful Sunday school teachers and parents praying and people investing, that God in his time will pull that battery, pop it onto whatever his will for their life is, and everything that's been put in them for all these years, zzz, it's there. And you know what we've got to do? We've just got to keep doing it. So, and then I wouldn't even mind if the prayer request didn't involve. It says, strengthen with all might, verse 11, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. If it had stopped there, I could have handled it. But then it says, with joyfulness. So not only am I supposed to be patient and long suffering, I'm supposed to be happy about it. Oh, my goodness. Pray for me. Pray for your preacher. James 5, verse 6 through 8 says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman watcheth for the precious fruit of the earth. He watcheth for it. That's what I was talking about. And hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rains. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart. Make up your mind. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not doing it whether or not I see results or not. I'm going to establish my heart. This is what I'm doing. I'll be patient. Establish my heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I thought about that husbandman that waiteth for the precious fruit. Young people, we've invested, and we're waiting for that precious fruit. And we, nothing more glorious than to see all of it come together in a young person's life, and they go out and God begins to bless and the fruit begins to come. And but you know what? It takes patience. It takes patience. And then the last prayer request has to do with thankfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. And I think an important prayer request is just in this matter of thankfulness. Help them to maintain a thankful heart, appreciation for all that you've promised us. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, there's all kinds of ways to apply this, so I'm going to tell you how I'm going to apply it, because this is what the Lord spoke to my heart about, and it may be totally different than you. I will say this to our senior saints that are going to have missions field leaders come to you and enlist you to pray for them and to pray for their area. Well, preacher, what do you want me to do? I mean, what should I pray? And I got to thinking, you know what? I'm praying that we end up having, you know, we've got, by the way, we're down to just two areas that need leaders now. We had another person step up and take an area. So we're just down to two. But I thought, you know, as I look over this list of these men that have stepped up and said, I'll lead in this and I'll take an area, I thought, as I studied this, boy, Lord, this is it. If they're going to do that, then they ought to have me praying every day for them and not just saying, Lord, bless them and help them as they're doing this. But think about these prayer requests in light of Luke isn't in here. Is he helping out in Master's Club? You know, Luke came to me, Luke Morris, and he came to me and after the meeting, the initial leaders meeting, and he said, I don't know what your thoughts are and what you're thinking. If you trust, you know, one of the teenagers with this, but I got my license and I could take one of those areas. And I'm going to tell you something that just, you know, and I said, Luke, thank you for wanting to do this. And yes, I do trust you to do it. I said, you got to take it serious. I will. I said, thank you for doing this. And he said, no, preacher. He said, thank you for trusting me to do this. Well, if he's going to do that, maybe I should get on my knees and say, Lord, my brother Luke, he's taking on a man's responsibility on this. Lord, please fill him with the knowledge of your will. Please help him to walk worthy of the Lord. Please help him to be fruitful in every good work. Lord, bless his fruitfulness in this. Bless his fruitfulness in this. Help him to increase in the knowledge of God. While he's doing this, Lord, I don't want him to just, you know, accomplish something. I want him to know you better when he gets done. Strengthen him with all might according to God's glorious power. And Lord, it's not always easy, and you're going to have bad days. And Lord, just teach him to be patient, long-suffering. I mean, the time he goes out and spends 2 hours and everybody's mad at him and everybody cusses him or runs him off the property. Just help him to be patient, long-suffering. And Lord, help him to maintain that same thankfulness that I seen when he said, thank you for trusting me with this. Thank you for letting me do this. And I think to myself, no matter what you're doing for the Lord and the ministry here, I'll bet you in your heart you're saying, I'd sure like somebody praying those things for me. So I said, Lord, you know what? When I do my prayer time for the leaders of the mission of fields, this is my prayer list for them this year. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless this study. And Lord, so much that we read about that you used the Apostle Paul to accomplish. Lord, oftentimes we read what happened in the book of Acts, but perhaps then in the study of the epistles, we understand, gain an understanding of why those things happened. And Paul said, I'm not anything special. He said, I'm chief of sinners. And Lord, he didn't have a high opinion of himself and think he was anything great, but he sure knew a great God. And I wonder how many times Timothy and Titus and others that traveled with him, in the weakness of his flesh, with his Lord, his the infirmity of his body that he prayed over and asked you to take away, and the limitations. I wonder how many times they watched him go over in a corner of a room or at night while others are sleeping, slip out to a courtyard, get on those knees and plug in and say, Lord, I got to be filled with the might of your glorious power. I can't do this, God. I can't do it. I'm tired. We travel. We preach. We're misunderstood. We're lied about. We're misrepresented. We're attacked. Lord, I can't do this unless you give me these things. And I think that the Apostle Paul prayed for these things, and then he learned the value of using this same prayer request to pray for these fledgling Christians, these new converts, these new churches, getting their feet on the ground. They're getting ready to go. And this old warrior, he knew what to pray. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help somebody to pray this for someone else, that everybody would have someone praying this for them. And I ask, Lord, that you'd direct according to your will. I'd love mothers to get on their knees and claim this, just begin to beg God for this and their children. Daddies begin to do that. I pray for that Sunday school teacher that's been praying. Yeah, they've been praying, but to take their prayer time to a whole different level, bus captains, a whole different level. Give us something to claim, get a hold of, Lord. And then when we see these specific answers to prayer, these things happen in our young people, and those that, Lord, you've given us charge over, then we can rejoice knowing that it was a God who heard and it was a God who answered. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. May this be a wonderful year here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray in Jesus' name.